Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me, Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble, at your service. You're going to be glad you stayed with us because our good friend Stephen Moore is with us, ladies and gentlemen. We've known Steve for a long time. We knew him when he was with the Cato Institute. We knew him when he was with the Club for Growth. And now he's got some new gigs and has been now for a while. He's on the a job that I actually kind of Steve, welcome back. I never really envied you any of your professional jobs before, even though I admire both of the other organizations you work for. But now you're on the editorial board at the Wall Street Journal. I'd really kind of covet that job, Steve.
Yeah, me too. It's really a great place to be. It's the voice of the free market movement.
Well, long before you got there, but even more now, it's my favorite newspaper in the world, and I don't ever want to be without my Wall Street Journal. And also, many of you see him on CNBC. In fact, you were on CNBC last night on Larry Kudlow's show, and you do a great job on that, and I appreciate it. He's also, folks, the co-author of the book, The End of Prosperity, which we're going to talk about in just a little bit. Steve, let's get to a couple of news items. GM wrote it down and reported it yesterday. Their auditors reported, and they actually used the serious concerns about being a going concern language. That's pretty much the end of government subsidy right there, isn't it?
No, unfortunately.
Really?
It's
really?
Not. I mean, I think...
I guess I'm trying to be logical here.
That's the
What's
problem,
wrong with
Jim.
Me?
I mean, but if we use that criteria, they wouldn't have gotten the first thin dime,
yeah,
because,
exactly,
you know, this company's been in big trouble, you know, for... This is dead man walking, unfortunately,
right,
and we keep putting money into it. And, you know, the tragedy of all these bailouts is that we keep pouring money into, you know, billions and tens of billions and hundreds of billions of dollars into these companies, and then 3 months later, they're worth less than we put into them.
But we're not learning anything, are we?
Right, we're not. And, you know, look, this was not a bailout of General Motors. This was a bailout of the United Auto Workers. Let's be very clear about
exactly
this. I mean, and so that's why I think that no matter how much money they lose, this Congress is likely to continue to pour our tax dollars into this. Now, look, Ford, I think Ford can make it, but I'm very skeptical about GM and Chrysler.
I heard some people confused about why Ford's making it and GM isn't. I think I know why, and I don't hear many people talking about it. 3 years ago, Steve, I do predictions at the beginning of every year, and I come back at the end of the year and see how I did and report that too. But I predicted 3 years ago that one of the car companies would go bankrupt in 2006. I was just premature by a few years. But I said it would probably be GM. Well, the only reason why Ford didn't go bankrupt in 2006 was they mortgaged properties that had been paid for generations.
That's right.
Isn't that one of the reasons why they're successful? They're actually not taking any money from the government right now?
Well, that's part of it. Also, they've been much more forthright and forward-looking about getting, you know, renegotiating labor contracts. I mean, there's just no way General Motors can go out and paying, you know, these workers $50, $60, in some cases $70 an hour. And so that's a big part of it. You know, these companies need flexibility. They need to be able to hire and fire workers when they need them, and these labor contracts just don't allow them to do that. And, you know, 21st century America, as every small businessman knows, you need that flexibility.
Why don't they put these guys into organized, prepackaged Chapter 11? They'd be in and out in 90 seconds once they got everybody agreed to it. Why don't they do that?
I ask myself that question every day, and I say that on CNBC almost every
Isn't
day.
Isn't that the most logical thing
course,
to do?
Of course, and that's the reason
but
we have
the reason
Chapter
they
11.
Won't is because of the unions, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, the unions are the most powerful. The unions are running Washington right now.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. What about? Here's something else that happened yesterday that was kind of shocked some folks. One of the cool heads of this whole scenario going on right now is Sheila Bair, the director of the FDIC. She said something yesterday that she needed to raise fees from banks for their deposit insurance to keep that fund from going broke. Did that surprise you?
Well, it doesn't surprise me that the fund is going broke because of all the massive losses that these banks have taken on. You know, I'm very much opposed, though, to the way we fund the FDIC, because what we do essentially, Jim, as you know, the FDIC is funded by essentially a small tax on deposits. But the problem is it's not a risk-based insurance system. So you're taking money from the deposits of the good banks, and you're using that money to bail out the depositors of the bad banks.
So it's a Social Security system, basically.
Exactly. I mean, it's not an underwritten
system.
It is not. And so what you're doing is you're draining. And this is the whole problem, Jim, as I see it, with what we've done. It started, you and I were talking before the show. It's not a Republican-Democrat thing. This happened under Bush, and now it's happening under Obama. We are subsidizing the failures, and we're taking money from the successful.
Folks, this is the point that we need to make. This is not about Republican or Democrat. This is about the future of our way of life and the worldview of people who are headed us in the wrong direction. 20 till the hour. Steve Moore and I will be right back. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. That you love. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog while you're there. And you can listen to archives of past interviews that I've done with my 1,500 Brain Trust members, the smartest people under the small business sun, including our good friend Steve Moore, who's with us right now. And Steve is the co-author, along with Arthur Laffer and Peter Tanous, of the book, The End of Prosperity, How Higher Taxes Will Doom the Economy If We Let It Happen. That "if we let it happen" thing there, Steve, is why I do what I do, and why I take some time during my programming each week to talk about these things. There was a time, Steve, when small business owners could do their job and vote when it came time to vote and get a little bit involved in politics. But basically, you know, we'd go up, we'd go down a little bit. But basically, you know, we Washington would move on, Wall Street would move on, and we could make a living. I think those days are gone. I think every person who cares about free market economies, who cares about our capitalistic system of the economy, I believe small business owners can no longer be passive about what's happening. We've got to let people know that we don't like it if they raise our taxes. We don't like it if they increase our regulations. We don't like it if they try to put up barriers to trade. What do you think?
Well, I couldn't agree more. I think to put it very simply, the barbarians are at the gates, folk. And you know, we're looking at changing our way of life with the socialization of health care, with this cap-and-trade global warming tax that they're talking about, with the massive debt. I mean, we're going to borrow more money this year with the Bush-Obama budget than we borrowed as a nation in our first 200 years.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
yeah.
an unbelievable statistic, Jim. I mean,
let me put the debt in perspective right now. Folks, we are about to go have a dollar of debt for every dollar of GDP.
Yeah.
If we may already be there.
I'm not sure. We're not quite there. We're getting close.
But now, up until about 3 years ago, we had about $5 trillion in debt, right?
Yes.
And whenever people complained about $5 trillion, I mean, some people were apoplectic about $5 trillion, but I remember there was an article that our buddy Steve Forbes wrote about, why are you worried about $5 trillion? We got $50 trillion in national assets, you know, or however much, however many he said. But you know, Steve, that his argument may not hold water much longer.
That's right. Because what we're seeing is the assets are declining and the debts are rapidly increasing. And, you know, this doesn't even include the money that the Federal Reserve, is buying up a lot of these assets itself, which means that they're owned by you and me because we own the Federal Reserve. So this is a scary time, and I wanted to take on that one point you and I were talking about these taxes and small businesses, because it really goes to the heart of what your show is about and how our economy functions. And you and I talk about this all the time. I mean, it's so self-evident that the backbone of the U.S. economy is the small and medium-sized business owner and the entrepreneur and the inventors and the people who put the money behind the small businesses. And if you want I talked to my friend who runs the Kauffman Foundation, and he mm-hmm. they have a new study out
Carl
that shows
every
time we've gotten a recession out of a recession, it has been the entrepreneur who has gotten us who
That's
has
right.
led us out of the recession.
That's right. That's
well,
right.
why would you want to raise taxes on the entrepreneur, on the small businessman? And look, the statistics are very clear of this. Of those people who make over $250,000, 70% of them are either small business owners, operators, or investors. If you take away the oxygen from these companies, they won't survive and they won't even be started in the first place.
Well, Steve, here's the thing that I pointed out in my blog, and it's going to be in my newspaper column this weekend, and I've talked about it on the show. A small business owner with $250,000
yep.
in taxes. In taxable income.
Right.
Some of that, maybe most of it, came from the profits of the business flowing through to him or her
sure.
as a subchapter S or whatever.
Yeah.
Steve, what President Obama doesn't understand is that that's phantom income. Because it's coming to him as profits, but that money is not in the checking account. It's in inventory and receivables. He doesn't have the money
right.
from those profits to pay those taxes.
And even if he does, you know, what does the most small businessmen do if they have, let's say, $100,000 of profits? Well, they take some of it in an income, and then they reinvest it in the company.
Every small business owner I've ever asked, and I've asked a bunch of them across the country and around the world, Steve, what would you do? I've asked them this in other countries. What would you do if the government charged you, billed you for lower taxes? Every one of them, without blinking, without a second's hesitation, every one I've ever asked said, I would reinvest it in my company.
Yeah, and that's what that's how a small business, you know, operator becomes a medium-sized business
that's
operator,
right.
and
that's right.
and that's where the jobs come from. When a company grows from 20 workers to 50 workers, or 50 workers to 75 workers, and so we're really putting a big target on the chest of the ones who are supposed to lead us out of this recession. Even I feel the same way, by the way, Jim, about the capital gains tax.
Right.
Where does the investment capital that starts these new businesses come from? It comes from investors who put their money at risk. Let's, as you know, 2 out of 3 new businesses fail; they don't succeed. So
right.
you have to have a high premium to put your money behind these risky investments. And God bless the entrepreneur; they take their risk. Oftentimes they fail, but when they succeed, that's what makes our free market capitalist free enterprise system work.
Well, and folks, what we're talking about here is you need to understand, and I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or a mugwump or an independent, I don't care. It's not important whether I am either one of those. The important thing is there are policies being proposed right now by some people that is no less than an assault on our way of life, and we have to let people know. If you're like me, if you and Steve, you don't like this, we've got to let our members of Congress know, because they're voting on this right now. Tintail, stay with us.
In the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blessingame, the small business advocate. Steve Moore is our guest. Steve is the co-author, along with Arthur Laffer, the great Dr. Arthur Laffer, and Peter Tanous of the book The End of Prosperity. And, Steve, the book's available wherever books are sold. And I know the reason I know that is because, you know, we get a lot of books in here, Steve. That come in and we don't pay for them because they send them to us because they want us to put the folks on my show, right? I bought your book.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah. Hey,
well,
who loves you?
A free one, but
you're
doing
you?
Really
who?
Well. And you know, the message of the book is very simple. When you do the right things economically, like Reagan did, you'll see this economy blossom like it never has. But if you get the policies wrong, as Hoover did and Roosevelt did and Jimmy Carter did, you know, the economy won't perform. And we need to get back to what we call the 4 basic principles of strong economics: free trade, low taxes, low regulations, and a sound currency. And we've moved away from all of those.
Those are all in jeopardy, every one of those. By the way, before we go any further, WallStreetJournal.com, right?
Yep.
And any other...
WSJ.com.
That's right, WSJ.com. I knew that. The End of Prosperity is the book. Anything else you want to send us to? What about you got a blog, your personal blog or anything like that?
No, but if people want to, I do. It's called endofprosperity.com, and you can find out about getting the book. We're doing really well. People, especially now, they're trying to find out why is this happening. I think this book is a really good explanation for how we got in the trouble we're in today.
It certainly is. And here's the thing. I think, Steve, where we are right now, what got us into this was manufactured. I don't think it was a normal cycle. I think it was manufactured by greed and incompetence and corruption. I think all the three of those things got us into this. But there is a way out of this. We know what the key to that is. We know what we have to do. We literally have the ammunition and the muscle in this country and the brain power to get us out of this thing in 18 months. But we're doing the opposite of those things, Steve.
Well,
What's so confusing about this?
It's not confusing. I mean, look, the history is very clear. You cut taxes, you don't raise them if you want the economy to move forward. And look, if I were the economic czar, Jim, and I would put you the head of the small business sector if I were, that would be number one. Number two thing I'd do is let's just have a Steve Forbes flat tax. I mean,
exactly.
If we did that, we would see this economy boom. We'd see so many small businesses, so many jobs. We wouldn't have enough workers in this country.
Well, here's the irony. In my column that I wrote about this week, the last thought on the column was, Mr. President, if you would do these things, nothing would help you get elected in 2012 more than that. There's a great irony there, isn't there?
Yeah, here's the point is, I'm hopeful. I'm still hopeful that Barack Obama is going to. I mean, his first 40 days have been a catastrophe, but look at Bill Clinton's presidency. His first 2 years were not good.
Yep.
We had the big tax increase, but then we had the election '94. Republicans got elected, and Bill Clinton, remember, he moved to the middle. And then we did a lot of good things. We did welfare reform. We did the capital gains tax cut. We balanced the budget. We did pro-small business things. And the economy boomed. So I'm hoping that Barack Obama moves more to the middle towards sensible free market policies. If that happens, we're going to get out of this. And I'm like you. I'm the ultimate optimist.
Well, it's interesting how many Republicans I think today are nostalgic for Bill Clinton.
Yeah. I mean, I'm nostalgic for Clinton, and I'm nostalgic for Ronald Reagan. I mean, Reagan got us out of the last major economic crisis by doing exactly the opposite of what we're doing now. He didn't raise taxes. He cut taxes. He didn't bloat the budget with $1 trillion new spending. He cut spending. I don't understand. He didn't allow the currency to go through the roof. Remember, we pulled back on the money supply so we could restore a strong dollar.
What is your view of the future? If we keep going like we're going right now, if Barack Obama's in the White House, Pelosi and Reid have control of Congress, if we're not able to turn some of these things around that they're proposing that you and I feel are dangerous, where are we going with this?
Well, we could look like Europe. And that's not a pretty picture. I mean, Europe does not have.
And that's not hyperbole, folks.
Well, and unfortunately, a lot of liberals say, good, we want to be like Europe. But Europe has had no growth over the last 20. Jim, we created 5 times more jobs than Europe in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And they've got a bigger population than we do.
They think 10% unemployment is normal.
45 million new jobs in the United States over the last 25 years at a time when Europe created only like 5 or 6 million jobs.
Yeah.
We know what works, and this is what's so frustrating, is we've moved so far away from, and it begins with stopping the bailouts.
Yeah.
No more bailouts of failed companies.
Let the failed fail. Let the wealth. Yep. Let the strong survive, and let time help heal this economy. Steve Moore, thank you so much for being here. Will you come back again real soon?
I'd love to, Jim. Thanks for what you do.
Steve Moore, ladies and gentlemen, an old friend with the Wall Street Journal, and check his handsome face on CNBC on a regular basis. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.